We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 22nd of May, 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise show, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream at sheffieldlive.org. And this show will also be available as a podcast later from our website. In today's show, we have interviews with live studio guests, Jay Bayani of Bayani HR and Employment Law, with Ant Clifford of Creative Stream, with Selena Ploskonka of Freshly Squeezed, and on the phone we'll have a short interview with Linda Torstenson of Cozy Kids. Before we turn to our guests, a quick flag up of some forthcoming events. Sheffield's business event, ChefX, returns on Monday the 1st of June. Taking place once more at Ponds Forge, the event is free to attend as a delegate, has over 100 businesses exhibiting and over 25 different speakers and workshops. So there's plenty to inspire you and to get your business going. Find out more at chefx.com. Next week on the 30th of May, a brand new event comes to Sheffield, the Yorkshire Work and Family Fair. It's aimed at highly motivated people who are looking for more flexible working options to maintain a work-life balance. We'll be talking with organiser Selena Ploskonka later in the show. And next Thursday, the 28th of May, the Doing Business in China seminar takes place in Doncaster. It's organised by the Confucius Institute at the University of Sheffield and by Doncaster Chamber of Commerce. It's free to attend, but booking is recommended. There are limited places. Find out more at sheffield.ac.uk/Confucius or doncaster-chamber.co.uk. So turning now to our first guest of the day, I'm joined in the studio by Ant Clifford of Creative Stream. Ant, good morning.
Morning, Jamie. Hi.
Thank you very much for coming in today. Looking very cool in your sunglasses and with guitar poised, ready for action. So a creative musician who runs a creative agency. Tell me, Ant, about your business.
Oh, great. Okay. So I moved to Sheffield in about 1999 and... I've been doing kind of, you know, web-related marketing, design work ever since. In 2006, I started a business called Creative Stream with a couple of friends, and now I am the sole owner of that business, and it's going from strength to strength. So we do a lot of work in the area, a lot of work around the country, and everything that we do is really creative, and that's the point of Creative Stream.
And you're based in Hazelwoods Mill. And as you said, you've started the business in 2006. So you've been through the recession with the business. How was that?
That was an interesting time because work was sparse at times. It's interesting because of the way that the web industry worked was that people started creating template-based websites. And it was very tempting to kind of go dark side with that many times. But I've always made the decision to stay bespoke, to stay creative, and that has been something that now has paid off. So coming through the recession and seeing a real increase of work and requests and referrals and people finding us and seeing our work and liking it has just increased more and more.
And was it always your dream then, Ant, to work for yourself, to set up your own business?
No, actually it wasn't. When I first started, I thought... When I first finished my fine art degree down south in Chichester, I thought that I wanted to go into computer game design, but it was an industry you couldn't get into without any experience. So no one was interested. I remember sending off about 80 CVs and just not getting any response at all. So then got a job in Reading, down south. I got a job as a web designer and learnt how to do that really there, although I dabbled with computers and obviously was creative because of doing art, you know, through education, and ended up moving up to Sheffield to work as part of a project called Tribal Generation based out of a church. So I got headhunted and brought up here. The job, that project went part-time. So because of that, I was encouraged to look for other work rather than go and get a job. And actually, I'm really glad that I was encouraged to do that, because it helped me kind of start to go on that journey of working for myself. And there have been times where, I have to be honest, there have been times where you think, wow, I really wish I had the security of being on PAYE, on someone else's PAYE right now. But I am really glad that I have done that and built something myself.
And you've talked about how in the past people were used to using template web or templates for web design, and now perhaps things are a little bit more sophisticated. A lot of us will have heard about the Google changes, Google algorithm changes, and essentially that means that people who haven't designed a website that's going to be responsive, going to be able to be viewed well on a mobile, they might fall down the mobile ranking somewhat. Now, is it a bit too early to really see the results of that as yet? That's a new algorithm that's just come in.
It was 21st, I think it was, 21st of April. Yeah. This was obviously a big thing, and it's quite interesting watching a lot of other agencies do kind of panic campaigns based on this. You know, like the mobile Geddon is coming. you need to quickly get a responsive website. However, I think that the people most affected are most likely to be online businesses who are in a very competitive industry. If they have not got a responsive site and someone else who's their competitor has, they may see a swap in terms of their placement of where they are on the search engine rankings. But if you've got a niche business or a geographical business, it's not going to affect you as much, but it is a really important consideration, and that's something I've talked to all of my customers about.
Okay. And we talked about your journey here to Sheffield. What about the challenges you've overcome then in your business in making Creative Stream the success it is today since launching in 2006? How's the journey been?
I guess whenever there's been a great time of change, that has always been the biggest challenge. So change and adjustment would be the big thing. So, for example, when my business partner, who's still a good friend of mine, Cliff, left to set up his own agency, which wasn't personal at all, it was something he really felt compelled to do. This was a time where I realised that I needed to kind of step up and do sales for the business. I needed to be looking for new work because I realised that it had been something that was that he'd looked after before me. So there was a real period of adjustment. I would say 9 months of quite unpleasant with some anxiety, but it was something that I worked on and eventually came through, especially with the support of a lot of friends. But it was, it was a challenging time. But coming out of that has given me new skills. It's made me enjoy that side of the business, and that's worked really well.
Great, thank you. And we talked about a time of change then. What are your plans in terms of how you want to see the business develop over the next 12 months, 24 months? What are you working towards?
Let me think about that. So I've got some fantastic employees and contractors, and we deliver really great jobs. But the thing that I want to see develop and change over the next couple of years, say, is probably the technology. Technology moves pretty fast, as you probably know. The responsive websites, you know, the mobile Geddon is a great example of that. And that's something that we've invested a lot of time and energy on to make websites work and look great on many devices. So the technology side, the content management system, the thing that runs the website that allows the client to edit what they need to edit, that side of things needs constant attention as well. And that's something I'm going to be looking at moving forwards. In terms of currently, we're in great demand and we've got a lot of work on, which is a fantastic position to be in, and that's really great. But I'll definitely be looking at expanding in some way. So how that is exactly, I'm not 100% sure how that looks, but I'm working hard on finding a solution, and it's likely to involve employment and new contract work, new technology. So it's pretty exciting times.
Great stuff. And aside from that, then, we're in a position where we have, of course, a new government. So 2 weeks ago, it was the election.
Was it?
I couldn't possibly have missed it. Or could you?
I'm just kidding.
And lots of businesses and social enterprises have made comments about the potential effects on business and the potential effects on society. And I just wondered if you had a view on the election result, whether you think the result is likely to be something that is positive or negative, both for business, social enterprise and society generally. Anything you care to comment on?
It was, being in Sheffield during this, and obviously social media has played such a big part in this election, and most of my friends now are outspoken kind of Labour supporters. And so there's been a huge amount of disappointment that I've seen around me. Now, that's obviously not the case all around the country, but it's interesting because I have really felt the effects of that. However, I decided to vote for Labour because I see quite a lot of poverty around, people in real need. And interestingly enough, a friend of mine shared a map online that showed where the most child poverty was in the UK, and you could literally put that map overlaid on top of a map of the election results, and it shows where people were voting Labour, and the areas where there was least poverty, that it was all blue, so Conservative voters. It's really interesting to see that, just one theory about that, and there would be many, but if you live with this, you see this all around you, then maybe you just need to vote for the party where you think they'll look after the people who need the most help. And that was my reason, actually, for voting Labour.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. We'll be bringing other reactions to the results on air later on in the show. Now, outside of work, you are busy with many children. You have four children?
Yeah, I do. So
obviously child poverty is something that you would, we've just been talking about child poverty, and it really brings it home to you when you imagine your own family in these kind of circumstances. But with four children and running a business, that is... That's an enormous amount of that must fill an enormous amount of time. But I know something else which is a huge passion of yours is music, and you're in a band called Lofter. Now, the band are playing at a festival this Sunday. Can you tell us a little bit more about the festival and the band? How long have you been playing together?
So the band, it's just an acoustic duo, yep. And Chris and I have been playing for the last 3 years together, and it's a lot of fun, been writing some songs, and we're currently working on an album, which doing something like that yourself is a massive job. I think my work is challenging, but producing an album yourself is a massive challenge. There's no doubt about it. I'm really discovering that now because I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I really want to make it good. It's the kind of album that I'm looking to, I want people to put on and have a listen to and think, oh, great, I'll listen to that again, okay, or once or twice more. That's something I'm aiming for, and that's a lot of work. The Cliff College Festival, it's a Christian college in the Peaks, and we're playing kind of, we're one of the fringe acts there. So that's going to be, a lot of fun.
So that's coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you're going to play a song called Breaking that you and your bandmate Chris have written together. You've got your guitar here in the studio with us, so we're going to let you tune up and play the song Breaking.
I think I'm in tune enough.
Lovely.
All right. Great. It looks as though this is the end, my reprieve, as if I could turn my back, I believe, and I never would have thought that I could be the kind of person who stands there
A thousand times I always saw the good, my sentiment was always clear. I backed you up a thousand times. As the challenges arrive from behind, I never saw you stop the fight. Peace of mind. Now they won't be fighting anymore. Now the era's over and we are moving on. Ooh. Dance is breaking me. But before I'm out of here, you gotta know I backed you up a thousand times. I always saw the good, my sentiment was always clear. I backed you up a thousand times. You gotta know, I backed you up a thousand times. No matter what was said before, no matter what I hear, I backed you up a thousand times. Gotta know, I backed you up a thousand times. I always saw the good, my sentiment was always clear. I backed you up a thousand times. You gotta know, I backed you up a thousand times. No matter what was said before, no matter what I hear, I backed you up a thousand times. I backed you up.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. And that was Ant Clifford, our studio guest, playing live in the studio today. Ant runs Creative Stream and is in a band and was playing a song called Breaking. Ant's in a band called Lofter. They'll be playing at the Cliff College Festival this Sunday. Ant, thank you. Magnificent.
Thanks very much, Jamie. It's been a pleasure.
And thanks for coming in today and telling us about your experience in business as well. Where can people find out more about you, about Creative Stream, and, of course, about Lofter?
Great, yeah. Creative Stream's on the website. We've got a website, www.creativestream.co.uk. And we've, if you're looking for Lofter, we're on Facebook, actually.
Super.
So you can search for Lofter Music Facebook.
And you yourself, you're on Twitter as well?
I'm on Twitter at Ant Clifford, all one word.
Brilliant. Well, I hope the festival goes really well and is a great success this Sunday. And thanks for joining us and talking about Creative Stream 2. I'm sure we'll have you back in on Business Live in the future. Again, meanwhile, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jamie.
So you're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. In a moment, we'll be talking about the election result and the potential impact of the election result on business law. We'll be bringing in business law expert Jay Bayani of Bayani HR and Employment Law. Before we do that, we're going to play a quick track of music, which is Wolf Alice, We're Not the Same.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. You've heard this morning from Ant Clifford of Creative Stream. He's been talking about his website design business, but also played us a track of music from his band. Now I'm joined in the studio by Jay Bayani of Bayani HR and Employment Law. Jay, good morning.
Morning, Jamie.
Thanks very much for coming in today. And I've invited you in because, as we all know, we have a we've had an election 2 weeks ago, and the election result, the Conservative victory, means that lots of people are asking about employment law and what the government has proposed and what might happen. And that will affect businesses, that will affect social enterprises. And as a well-known expert in employment law, it'd be really, really helpful for our listeners if we can run through what some of the changes are. And then perhaps also we'll talk a little bit more about your business and background as well. But one of the things that has been talked about a lot has been zero hours contracts. What's likely to happen with zero hours contracts?
Well, I think zero hours contracts hit the headlines certainly last year with some really big employers using them regularly. I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding about them because actually lots of employees like them. It suits their family circumstances, and lots of employers like them. The big flaw in them was that there were some employers who were imposing them with what we call exclusivity clauses. And what that means is that not only are you as an employee only going to be paid when I ask you to work for me, but you also can't work for anyone else. And that was the big problem. And so quite rightly, what's going to happen is that the exclusivity clause is going to be banned, which means that zero hours contracts can still exist without them.
But without the exclusivity clause. So that'll be part of the Small Business Enterprise and Employment Act as that actually comes into force.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. OK. And then we come on to wages and the national minimum wage, which is set annually. And that is likely to rise, of course, in October.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe that the figures currently are £6.70 an hour. And it will rise to £6.70, which was the scheduled rise from October. But we could see more significant rises up to £8 an hour, as well as changing the tax threshold. So the personal tax allowance, the plan is to increase that to £12,500. And I think it's currently around £10,750.
And that's over the lifetime of the Parliament, that will take place? Or
I would imagine so, yes, yes.
So the Conservatives also proposed have made proposals relating to industrial action as well.
Yes, well, not unexpectedly, industrial action isn't going to be tolerated by a Conservative government as it was by a Labour government in the past. So we're likely to see some changes here. I think what the headlines are saying that at the moment are that 40% of eligible voters would have to vote in favour of a strike. 50% or more must vote in all ballots, and the ban on employers using agency workers could also be lifted. But to be honest, this is all a bit of a let's wait and see what happens. So I don't know the detail of what will happen, but I would imagine that it would become harder to take industrial action.
So at the moment we're light on detail here. We've simply heard, I suppose, the rhetoric that we might have expected, but we don't know how those proposals might actually work.
Yeah, not in any great detail.
Now, in terms of equality and, first of all, average pay and pay discrepancies between male and female employees, but also opportunities for disabled people to gain employment, what are the proposals, what likely changes might we see here?
I think it's sort of a name and shame strategy whereby companies with more than 250 employees will be expected to publish the difference in average pay of their male and female employees, so that there's greater transparency and accountability. I think certainly the thing I've been impressed regardless of my own political bias, with the Conservative government is the number of women that we're seeing. And I think that, you know, if they're leading by example, that's a great thing.
And this is interesting. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the State of Social Enterprise survey, because Social Enterprise UK published some initial data from their own survey, which is of social enterprises, 2 weeks ago. The full survey is going to be published later on this year. But they talked about how the social enterprise sector vastly outperforms regular businesses on diversity, which I thought was really interesting. 40% of social enterprises are now led by a woman, and that compares to only 18% of regular businesses, and again, 11% of leaders of social enterprises come from a minority ethnic background, compared with 7% amongst regular small businesses. So there is a way to go in terms of business and representation and diversity. And so from what you're saying in terms of commenting on the equality proposals, you are welcoming the proposals. You see that the proposals could have a positive outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I get asked to speak quite often on issues such as, is there a glass ceiling, as yes. an employment lawyer, but also from my own experience as a working mother yes. and a business owner. And I'd be really interested to see what happens now that the new shared parental leave regulations came into force in April, because what we could start seeing, and I think it will be very slowly, we could see a culture shift whereby women are taking less time off after having a baby, which I think the inevitable fact is women have the babies, so there is a disruption to their working life and therefore a disruption to their employer. So will that start changing now that a man can actually take up to 50 weeks of the woman's maternity leave?
Indeed. So shared parental leave could have an enormous positive impact in terms of actual equality in the workplace and impact of parenthood on people's careers.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Great. Now, moving on to apprenticeships, we know that the new government has committed to creating more apprenticeships. I think the figure is 3 million, and wanting to increase the number of young people into work. We'll move then on to some of the other aspects of their proposals. Employment Tribunal and fees, they are subject to a judicial review appeal. So,
Employment Tribunal claims weren't subject to fees, whereas other courts were for many years now. And tribunal fees were introduced a while ago. The criticism has been that they're so onerous because they've gone from having no fee at all to significant fees of £250 to lodge a claim and then £950 to take a claim to a hearing. Well, if you've just lost your job, even as a higher earner, you're going to have to think before actually taking that step to pursue a claim, and there's been a massive reduction in the number of claims. So with the election, it was expected that if a Labour government were to get in, then it may have been that we'd see either an abolition or reduction in fees. I think we're unlikely to see any change to that now, unless the judicial review succeeds.
Right. And the judicial review outcome will be later on in the year.
Yes.
Yeah. OK. So we then move on, of course, to the European Union and the referendum on whether the UK is in or out of the EU. That's going to take place by 2017. That would probably have implications for employment law.
Yes, it would. I think there's a lot in the press at the moment about what does membership of the European Union mean? What is the European Court of Human Rights? And are we going to see ourselves as an island just, you know, creating our own laws? And I think that membership of the European Union is a separate issue to the European Court of Human Rights. And really what the government are wanting to do is to enable us to have a British Bill of Rights, which would mean that we could make certain decisions ourselves rather than having to be judged by the European Court of Human Rights. And there'd be an advisory or a guidance body rather than a judicial body within the European Court of Human Rights.
But it's still difficult, isn't it, to unpick all this in terms of how that will actually work on the ground at local level and these changes, but how they will affect us at local level, I suppose.
Well, the big headlines, Jamie, are things like will the government want to introduce hanging? You know, will they want to do away with the human right of the right to life? And things like that, they're the big headlines. But actually, day to day, you know, in practice, I would imagine that the things that might be affected are things like the working time directive,
yes,
the 48-hour week,
yep,
some of those things where I think we would like some leeway and we haven't been able to have that because of being beholden to the European courts.
OK, thank you. Other changes then, in terms of the labour market, migrant employees and cracking down on illegal workers, but also the Modern Slavery Act. So can you tell us any comment on any of these proposals?
Yeah, I don't know the detail of them, but I believe that what the government wants to do is to make sure that employers take responsibility to prevent slavery and trafficking. So in the same way as a few years ago, employers had to take on the responsibility of doing checks on migrant workers, they will be expected, I think, to carry out greater checks under the Slavery Act to make sure that those people that are working within their organisations aren't subject to slavery and trafficking.
OK. Now, there's lots more that we could unpick here, which is because we're at a time of many changes. But I just want to flag up the fact that, Jay, you yourself, you're speaking at a forthcoming event, which we're going to be discussing on the show later on today with the organiser. But the event is a brand new event, the Yorkshire Work and Family Fair, and that's taking place next week on the 30th of May. So people can come along and meet you at that. And of course, you yourself have launched your own new business recently, Bayani HR and Employment Law. And without going into too much detail, I think there's an interesting point to ask you, which is the point about what can a business do if someone else is trading on their name, and how do businesses deal with that?
Well, now it's interesting you ask me that. As lots of people that know me will know, I personally joined a firm 3 years ago. We were trading as Bayani Bracewell, part of a firm called Taylor Bracewell. Having left that firm 6 months ago, I now find myself in a situation where they are still operating under my name. Apart from the confusion that causes for clients, there are issues about passing off, because
yes,
I brought my goodwill and my name. You know, there's a value to that, which I suppose is why they want to carry on using it. It is something that's actionable in the courts, and without saying too much more, it is something that, you know, I feel very strongly about, because it's, if they don't do things, if another business is trading under a name where it's affecting somebody else's reputation, then, you know, there are legal claims you can bring in respect of that. But to be honest, it's you would hope that people would be sensible in business. You know, we're talking about a provision of a service which is very much driven by me as an individual, it's not like selling Coca-Cola with a different name. You know, it's not a product. Quite. So it is causing quite a lot of confusion. But yes, watch this space on that.
Watch this space, indeed. Well, thank you, Jay, for that. So I'm talking with Jay Bayani of Bayani HR and Employment Law. And we've been talking about the potential changes to employment law as a result of the election. Now, there's lots more that we could discuss on this, but Jay, you've written a really, really insightful blog on your website, which people can find at bayanilaw.co.uk. So that's BHAYANILAW. law.co.uk, and I recommend people take a read of that. And you're also going to be speaking, as I mentioned, at forthcoming events on the 30th, which is taking place in Sheffield, and we'll be talking about that event with organiser Selina Plosconca in a few minutes. But Jay, in the meantime, thank you very much for coming in today and to talk with me. And I suppose just to wrap up, we're going to see changes then, clearly changes, and the potential for changes are quite large because of the European Union element here. Really, really important for businesses of all sizes to stay abreast of employment law as it changes, because to make sure that you're compliant with it. Any other tips, any advice, or any comment that you want to make?
I think social media is a fantastic way for small businesses to be kept informed. We write regular articles on our website, which don't cost anything, so people could follow those. But we also then post them to Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. So I think, you know, for any business, just as you say, keeping an eye on what's going on and what might affect them. Coming to seminars, we run a HR forum, and employers are welcome to come. That's free as well. And I think, you know, just making sure that, as I always say to my clients, you know, operating in a fair and responsible way as an employer. But at the end of the day, if you're running a business, you've got to have employees that are working well within the business. And if they don't, there are things you can do about it, as long as you do them in the right way.
Jay Bayani, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
So you listen to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM, and we're going to play a quick track of music, which is Talking Heads, Nothing But Flowers. You listen to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm joined on the line now by Linda Torstenson of Cozy Kids. Linda, good morning.
Morning, Jamie.
Thanks for joining me today. So we've brought you on because we invited people who are running businesses to get in touch with the programme and talk about how the results of the election might affect their business. And we've had a variety of views from people with a variety of different political affiliations, if you like. Now, before we ask you about what you think the effects might be on Cozy Kids, your business, tell us a little bit about Cozy Kids itself.
Cozy Kids is something that we launched about 7 years ago. It's basically functional but still stylish outdoor clothing for kids. So it's waterproof, and it actually does what it says. And that really, the idea was spawned, if you like, when we actually lived in Sweden and just really were observing how the kids played over there. Basically, they go out no matter what the weather, and it's up to the parents to make sure that they're properly kitted out and they're not going to get soaked, get frozen, or I guess get sunburned in the summertime. And we saw that there was a gap in the market in the UK, and as it turns out, in quite a lot of the rest of Europe as well.
So the business now has gone from strength to strength, and you're not only selling in the UK, as you say, you're selling across Europe and worldwide. Now, we'll give listeners the chance to find out more about Cozy Kids by taking a look at the website in a moment. But you got in touch with us, and we had a chat about who you voted for. So can you just tell us about who you voted for in the election, why you voted for them, but also what you think might be the effects of the election result on business?
Well, I have to say I was one of the undecided voters pretty much up until the last minute, trying to evaluate all the different options, We do live in a Labour stronghold constituency, so that's one of the issues as well that you have to grapple with, really, knowing that if you choose to go another route, is your vote going to count for anything, I suppose? My business head is pretty much with the Conservatives, but my heart a little bit more with the Lib Dems. I'm quite a supporter of coalition politics. It seems to work well throughout the rest of Europe, and I think it's probably a good way of kind of tempering extremes. So that is where my vote went. I did go with the Lib Dems.
And so you say you're a fan of coalition politics. Do you think we in the UK just do not understand how a coalition works? And perhaps is that a factor of the voting system that we use?
I think maybe experiences, certainly in my lifetime, of coalition politics have been probably associated with, you know, the tough years, if you like, you know, especially during the 70s. There were a few coalitions and minority governments. And the country probably wasn't in its best state, and there were lots of things going on at that time. And I think maybe it is a part of the way our voting system works as well. You know, I spent 10 years in Sweden, and they basically, it's changed because they had an election last year as well, but, you know, they basically run their government with a coalition of, across four parties, you know, and
We probably can't necessarily imagine that at the moment in the UK, but it's really interesting to see how that in some places, like I suppose New Zealand, what did have a first past the post system for many years before they went to a more proportional system as well. And you've talked about Sweden just then, so interesting to imagine, I suppose, what ifs, whatever anyone's political affiliations are.
Nigel Farage, he's a great character, whether you agree with what he says or not, but it must be very galling to get 4 million votes and only one seat in the House of Parliament.
Well, we seem to have a situation where the Greens and the UKIP agree on something in terms of vote reform. Now, are you worried about the potential impact on your business with if Britain was to exit the European Union?
I guess that whole question about, you know, the European referendum was one of the reasons why, you know, I wasn't sure about going with the Conservatives. I think, you know, the Lib Dems on that score are much more internationally minded as well. And I think, you know, I actually don't think the goal of the referendum anyway is to take us out of Europe. And the goal of the referendum is to get some change. But, you know, from a business point of view, it would be a complete nightmare to come out of the EU.
Indeed, and it would have certainly profound effects on businesses. So businesses are getting in touch with us to say that. Well, Linda, I really appreciate you coming on the programme today to talk about your particular views and comments on the result. People can find out more about Cozy Kids at your website to see the range of products that you offer. So do you want to give a shout out for the website?
Yep, shout out. It's Cozy Kids, which is Kozikidz, so sorry any teachers listening, .com, www.cozykids.com.
That's great. Well, Linda Torstenson of Cozy Kids, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. You listen to Business Live on Sheffield Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch, and I'm joined now in the studio by our final guest of today, Selena Plosconca of Freshly Squeezed and Laura Thomas of Freshly Squeezed. Good morning. Thanks for coming
Hi.
In today.
Good morning, Jamie. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you both for coming in. So we've invited you today to talk about a really interesting event that you're running next week, the Yorkshire Work and Family Fair. Tell me more.
Yes, Yorkshire Work and Family Fair. It's a fantastic family event, very much for anyone who is sort of in a position returning back into work after having a break, looking at changing career, more flexibility in their life, even looking at starting their own business, freelancing, and just kind of looking at different options and opportunities that are out there. But it's not all about the work. We have some fun organised for the kids, so bring your kids along. We've got face painting, some arts and craft zone where kids can get very creative, also dance and drama classes, so a very, very active day for the kids. We are organising a charity raffle supporting the Cash for Kids charity as well, and so it's a great charity, you know, supporting disadvantaged kids around the city. So come along and support them as well. We've got some great prizes, surprises, giveaways, a fantastic event. Laura has worked very hard on the programme of speakers and workshops. So I will pass over to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's sounding like a really packed day. Yeah, it's on the 30th of May. And actually, we've had one of the speakers on the show today. Yeah. Jay Biani's speaking there.
That's it. Yeah, we've got Jay speaking. And then we've also got quite an interesting kind of speaker, which is Jill Thomas from Future Life Wealth Management. So she's coming along, and instead of just sort of speaking, she's actually going to have a live interview at the event. So she'll be getting interviewed, and then people can ask her questions and things afterwards. So she's got a really exciting story. We've got all sorts of kind of businesses from around Sheffield coming along doing workshops, so Business Sheffield Women to Work, so there'll definitely be something for sort of everybody. Something else that we've got at it as well is the Source Skills Academy. So it's not just sort of for people who are like looking to get back into business, but perhaps at the beginning of their kind of employment journey.
Right. Yeah. So it's getting back in, but it's starting your journey.
Yeah. So kind of something for everyone, really. So if you're just looking to find an apprenticeship, then they're going to be there with loads of great opportunities, some kind of CV and interview advice as well. So,
and this is happening on the 30th of May. It's running from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's running on Paternoster Row. In fact, it's running opposite the Sheffield Live studio where we are in the hubs in the Students' Union.
I think we also sort of inviting the students along because it's a great opportunity for them. You know, if they finish in university, looking at different opportunities, what's out there, that would be a great day for them to come along as well.
And so you've talked about the event offering tips, advice for people who want to find more flexible working options as well. Mm-hmm. Now, is this driven by passion? Is this an idea that you thought, no one's doing this? How did you come up with the event?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is talking about flexible working and how that should be introduced into workplace and what, you know, what can you do to make your life a bit more balanced and, you know, have more time for your family and friends and doing those things. And no one is actually telling people how you go about it. And the idea actually came from a friend of ours who attended a similar event in London, which was extremely successful. And we thought, well, there is nothing like this in Sheffield, and we thought we wanted to bring it in and, you know, give people opportunity to come on one day to meet all those different experts and get advice on all those different areas.
I think there's lots of advice and things you can find online, but it would be nice to have it just in one place where you can come and chat face-to-face with people. So that's sort of where it all came from. I think we need some help with finding a better work-life balance.
Well, that's an interesting one. Yeah. Now, your own business, Freshly Squeezed. Tell us about that.
Yes, we don't actually do juice.
Surprisingly.
We organise corporate events. So really everything from conferences, networking events and exhibitions to things like this, community events, and even some exciting projects like Comic-Con. So that's coming up in August in Sheffield as well. So watch the space.
So Comic-Con in August, and that's a return for a successful event there, is that right?
No, or is it
brand new?
Yeah, brand new at the University of Sheffield.
Oh, right.
So we're actually going to our first Comic-Con on Sunday, aren't we? Because we've never been to one before, so it's probably going to be an experience, but I think it'll be good fun.
So then you're working hard on August.
So it's event after event, but it's really exciting. We really love it. But when you love something so much, you find very difficult to switch off and you just kind of work too much. So the event will be very useful for us to get some tips as well on finding a little bit more balance and, you know, taking time out of working.
So this is really driven by a real understanding that if you're running your own business, it is difficult to switch.
It truly is, It's a free event as well, so, you know, great opportunity for anyone to come down.
So do people need to book or can they simply turn up?
They can just turn up on the day. The incentive for booking on in advance, there is a fast-track entry, so you don't have to wait in the queue. So we encourage everybody to book online on the Yorkshire Wigan Family Fair Am I saying it right?
Yorkshire Work and Family.co.uk. I've got it in front of me. Yorkshire Work and Family.co.uk. You can find out more there about this event and see the whole range of speakers, who's involved, and all the details. But you can simply turn up, but it's worth booking in advance.
There are some perks for that.
And we've only got a short amount of time left on the show, but was it always your dream, each of you, to work for yourself, to set up your own business?
It was a combination of wanting to be independent, wanting to do something we really love. We met in our last employment. We worked together, not quite content with what we were doing, and we decided we wanted to do something ourselves and take control of our lives, really.
Superb. Well, thanks ever so much for coming in to talk about the event. And it sounds like it's going to be really, really interesting. This is Selena and Laura talking about the Yorkshire Work and Family Fair. You can find out more at yorkshirework and family.co.uk. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live. We've been broadcasting on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. We'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us. But don't go away right now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, from 10 a.m. through to noon. In the studio today with us has also been Paul Gregory, sound engineer. Thanks to him, and my thanks to you. We'll be back next week.